All right, this is Pure Decking, show number 582 for Thursday, October the 17th, 1907. This show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and trying to figure out where I lost the plot. Tonight, we have an RU. What's up, RU?
Well, I'm officially in the little bitch category as I own a mobile phone.
Yeah, that tends to happen to everybody since they're kind of required for basically everything these days.
Well, I like to think of it like this. Morps, I'm the hide-and-seek champion of the world. Managed to make it this far in this age without having a device attached to a real person.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I consider it a massive loss, but a minor victory. I did my darndest to hold out.
And even then, it's going to live in a box under your drawer.
It's already batteries, I think, at about 10. Wait for it to go flat, and I'll throw it back in the box and go in the drawer.
Yeah, so you'll have it in the event you absolutely need to get past a government checkpoint, but other than that, you're not yanking the thing out.
Yeah, let's face it, I left the phone store with some lasting memories of the day a schizoid came into their office.
And made them actually have to work as opposed to just, you know, the computer already having it all filled out for them.
Well, it was sort of like, we're going to need your name. And I'm like, whoa, before you start putting lists together, I just want a phone here, no names. He's like, I just need your name to put it in a queue so we can get someone to talk to you. I'm like, okay. And I begrudgingly handed over a name, and he quickly scurried into the back and grabbed their youngest phone service technician guy or whatever. And it was actually pretty good. You know, I mean, the experience wasn't comfortable, but it wasn't rape.
That's your metric, huh?
Pretty much.
It's like, well, they tickled the gooch, but they didn't, do any penetration. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, a quick shower and a wash down, you know, and I felt a little bit cleaner after it, but, I mean... It just sort of, the only thing I think of, like I sent it to Saad, the video, but seeing the opening to Mad Max where you got the road psychos screaming, you know, and then you just see the patrol car pull out behind it. Like, that's what it felt like, you know.
Yeah.
The authorities had finally caught up to this maniac who's just been screaming around the wasteland. But either way, it filled 10 minutes of the show today.
Yeah, and you got me, you know, you got me thinking about it and paying a little bit more attention because we were talking about it the other day, and I realized I can't go to the gym without letting somebody scan a QR code on my phone because that's how they check your membership.
Yeah.
Now, they have a front desk, so they can check you in by hand, but nobody there knows how to do it.
Yeah, I mean...
And one day their app wasn't working, and I said, well, just check us in on the computer, and the kid didn't know how.
Oh.
So he said, well, can you try the app again? He basically made people wait until the app started working again. Now, luckily, it was only a few minutes, but still.
Yeah. I mean, we are not going to survive the incompetent crisis that is coming. I mean, anybody paying any attention can see that. I mean, like, as I pointed out to you a few months ago, and you haven't been able to unsee it since, the clutching of the phone constantly.
Yeah, I'll routinely forget my phone in the other part of the house. I said that to one of my coworkers the other day, and you would have thought I was describing skinning small animals.
Right? And then you watch them in public.
Yeah, it's just
constantly
like...
constantly fondling them.
Literally, she looked at me and said, you left your phone in another room? Like I had just described, you know, lighting a Bible on fire or something, you know?
Yeah. I think they wouldn't care if you lit a Bible on fire.
Well,
they'd still be more offended by your phone being left behind.
Okay, a Bible on fire in 1956.
Yeah, there you go, in the Rust Belt. Just the obsession with the fondling of the phone, it's borderline insanity.
So, I mean, and of course, you know, I'm constantly connected with everything because I need it for my job. And I'm,
well, it's your job.
And I, you know, technophile, I don't deny that. And, you know, so, I mean, I've got gear everywhere, but yeah, I'll routinely leave the phone downstairs and come upstairs and mess with something else. And you know, 9 times out of 10, it's not a problem, but occasionally, you know, something will pop up on it that I, you know, strategically don't have. I have certain things that do not get forwarded to other devices. And so I won't see it for a few minutes till I come back upstairs and go, oh, there's my phone. And I'm like, oh, somebody's trying to get a hold of me. Mm-hmm, okay. Now I deal with it.
I pretty much look at it like this. You shouldn't have it around you unless you are like some sort of emergency contact for something.
Yeah, I unfortunately am.
No, I understand you, dude. I'm just making general sweeping accusations here.
Yeah, like high schoolers have very little reason for that.
Exactly. And yeah, you're not a baby doctor. What do you need a phone for 24 hours a day?
So, but on that note, I think we're going to spin Pure Decking down.
Yeah, we sort of touched on it yesterday, and as I said, I don't have an issue.
It's not that it's not fun to do the show, but it's not nearly as much fun as it used to be.
Well, there's not as much news anymore.
Well, yeah, politics has consumed most all of it. And then the rest of it's just the same shit. Company does something dumb, somebody got hacked, or company is, you know, changing software in a shitty way. Cory Doctorow gave a great speech earlier this year on the shitification of the internet. Now, he started bringing communism into it, so you can kind of leave some of that shit out. But
Cory Doctorow's gone a little weird in the last Trumpian years.
The speech itself was really good because he explains why companies are doing what they're doing, and he's probably correct. And a lot of it sounded really, you know, on. But at the end, he starts talking about some odd economic ideas that I'm just like, okay. Because, you know, he starts talking about seizing the means of data production. I'm like, wait a minute. But so that shit aside, he had some really good points in there, though. But frankly, I'm just not enjoying it like I used to. It used to be a blast to get on and do this show and have all these crazy stories and, you know, have the crew talk about them. And anymore.
Yeah, but that's when stuff was happening more. It really was the internet 2.0 at the time when we started doing all this was really kicking into overdrive. People were just spinning shit up left, right, and center, especially when it came to streaming media. How many little offshoot podcasts and that started that are now dead by the wayside? Like, out of all the ones we were involved with, we're the last. Yeah, but things were really happening on the internet back then, and it was just pure, like, Wild West shit, man. It was great.
Yeah, now everything is established social media networks,
Yeah, lockdown, ladders pulled up, gatekeepers blogs, in place.
And you don't know if half of them are even making shit up 90% of the time or not, which I assume they are. Key point, anytime a headline asks a question, the answer is probably no. Just keep that in mind. It's like, did this frog go down Donald Trump's pants? No, the answer is no. I don't know why you're writing about this, but you know, it makes skimming the headlines a hell of a lot faster when you, anytime you see a question, assume the answer is no, and is it still interesting? Nope. Okay, move on.
Well, so, I think a lot of it had to do in the desperation to try and make money out of this thing called the internet, which had failed to make any sort of commercial impact up until about the Amazon era, you know.
Yeah, well, look how that.
I don't mean when Amazon started selling books. I mean when they started doing, you know, everything.
Yeah.
To me, the internet now is like downtown, and most of the shops are boarded up, and the only people walking around are NPCs or people looking to fucking rob you.
You know, and there's still some interesting things happening here and there, and you know. Deep down in it. And so for a while I thought, well, I can dig into some of that stuff, but you know, the couple of times I tried, either it wasn't interesting to anybody else but me or it just wasn't anything worth talking about. So
and is like I want to see where we are after another month from now. If maybe the politics may calm down a little bit. I doubt it,
No, because
but
they're going to be arguing. I mean, our election, they're going to be arguing that till the end of the year. There'll probably be
you know
another
what?
January 6 event.
The only interesting thing for me happening in tech right now is the desperate grasp for electricity.
Well,
In a world where
there were some stories that they're starting to use nuke, so.
these internet billionaires and Google and all those companies pushing climate change and all that, and now they need a big hit of electricity, so they're having to spin up old nuclear power stations that they shut down. Like that's really interesting to me in the landscape of eco politics.
Well, how about this? So I'm going to be taking a trip in early November, then we're getting into the holidays. So
Yeah.
I think at least for this year, we're going to stop after show 583, which is first week of
Okay.
November. So three more shows this year. I don't know if I want to bring it back after that. We'll see where we are. But I am definitely going to redo the website as a flat file. I'm going to ditch WordPress because I don't know if you've looked into that. That's turning into a shit show, and I'm not really using it as its features anyway. So we're going to switch it to a flat file because there's I've got this idea of hooking one of the flat file site generators into the BBS so I can update the website from the BBS. So I'm going to see if I can do that because I
Okay.
think it'd be an interesting way to go. And it's not like I'm doing anything useful with it right now, anyways. We haven't updated it. I'm going to kill the stream. I honestly think I'm going to kill the stream. I mean, nobody listens to it, I don't think. We haven't
Yeah,
updated the
even
music on it
I'm.
in a while.
Yeah, I haven't been on there for probably a year now.
So the name's going to stop making sense, but I think I'm going to keep the BBS going, and I'm going
Yeah,
to.
I think that there's a few people involved in that.
Yeah, and,
They're enjoying it.
I'm thinking. Well, the thinking is that if I move away from some of the audio stuff, that might free up some time for some other things. And I'm not really doing much else with audio anymore. I know I used to be, but I've kind of moved away from that.
It's been, what has it been, 15, 16 years?
God, I don't remember. It's like 2011 when we started.
Yeah,
It was earlier than that, wasn't it?
I was doing stuff around 08, 09. But yeah, you brought it all together in 11. But yeah, we've been going weekly since then.
Well, we've had some breaks in there, but yeah.
Pretty much weekly,
I mean,
but
for God's sake, we're almost. I mean, we've been doing this a while.
yeah,
And
we got enough back catalog that if people are interested, they can listen to their heart's content.
so I'm thinking we're probably going to be done after 580, 585.
Yeah.
Now, if things change and we start getting twitchy come next year, maybe we'll bring it back, and if I do, I'll put something up on the website, and we'll make it clear when we're coming back. But for now, I don't think I am. I think we might be done.
Yeah,
So,
no. I hear what you're saying, man. It comes a time when you just, it's not that you're bored or you've had enough. It's just not much more I can do here in this space.
thank you. That is an excellent way of describing it because I feel like when I started doing decking, I was a lot earlier in my career, and it was also helpful to me to keep up. So part of it was
Yeah.
selfish in that I was doing my research for my career. Now I'm kind of past where a lot of this stuff is terribly useful to me. And it's just not. I mean, this last year, honestly, decking has not been interesting to me. This last year, the stories, very few, have actually been interesting. Now, it's fun. It's fun to do the show because, hanging out with you guys and we're throwing stuff around back and forth and playing with ideas and things like that. But you know what I
Well,
mean?
for me, it's been a dedicated 1 hour where we can just pretty much stick to one topic instead of being the scatological conversations we used to usually have.
Yeah.
And it usually stays pretty civil. Doesn't go off the rails too much. When it does, it's always good.
But when it does go off the rails, it's also not, oh, Madman, you're a dumbass or shit like that. It's, we actually have a genuine disagreement and we're exploring it.
Exactly. I know with me, IHN, I just ran out of energy, man. I put it down to age, to be honest.
Well, that, yeah, I mean, that fuck, getting older, that definitely could be part of it. I mean, and I've got a lot of other shit I'm trying to keep track of right now, and so, if I do bring it back, it may not be on Thursday. Might be a different day. But, yeah, I just, I don't know. It just hasn't been, it hasn't scratched that same itch for a while now. So I'm thinking it's probably time to at least take a break, if not spin it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, take the Christmas break off. In January, we'll get back together and see what we're feeling.
See if there's anything worth talking about.
Exactly. And if it's as dead as it has been for the last 6 months, let's face it, it's, there is no tech news really going on apart from the quest for electricity. And
the stories I have tonight are just, yeah, I mean, it's worth talking about, I'm sure. But, you know, that's the other thing is a lot of other people cover this shit now. When we first started doing this, I kind of felt like there wasn't, you know, much covering this that wasn't just straight up, you know, blowing smoke up tech companies' ass, you know, hope for
trying to get sponsorships and stuff.
Yeah, trying to make money. We were just doing it for fun.
That's the main, being the main thing. Anyway, it's, there was never a end goal of financial success or anything. It was for the love of it.
Well, I feel like if we had tried to take it somewhere to get into some kind of financial success, you know, turned it into a YouTube channel and, you know, did like some of these other shows are doing now. One, we were 10 years ahead of the curb.
But I would have burnt every sponsorship we had by now.
I don't think it would have worked. Me. I think our whole group would have.
Doesn't work like that. It's never been financially motivated or, and none of us particularly want to be noteworthy on the internet with our real names. Like, there's a certain couple of popular YouTubers right now who said a few spicy things over the weekend, and suddenly they've got sponsorship problems. I never wanted to be the dude on the internet going, hey guys, can you send super chats? I got to pay for my house this week.
Yeah. Well, and two, honestly, I feel like it with our group, especially when a lot more in the group were participating and trying to do the shows and stuff like that, because now it's just been you, me, and Madman for a while. Occasionally Fox shows up, but we would have killed each other. I honestly think somebody would have done the cross-country drive to kick somebody in the nuts and leave them in a ditch.
Because someone's sponsorship would have got fucked up because of something stupid someone said.
So
that, as I said from day one, dude, as long as there's no money involved, I'm here for the long ride.
So I think that's where we are right now. Anyways, not to be too much of a bummer.
It didn't come to a shock to anyone either. That was the other thing, your announcement yesterday.
That I was thinking about it, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't shock anyone if you noticed that.
Well, I wasn't sure what reaction I was going to get. I wasn't sure if it was going to be, yeah, okay, do what you want, it's your thing, or if it was going to be a bunch of people, oh, no, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, well, I think also, too, whoever runs their show, it's always been their decision. It's always been pretty clear.
Yeah, but I mean, we've all been doing this for so long.
I mean, it'll be different.
So, anyways.
Let's do the first story.
All right. This one's from XDA Developers. Google is automatically going to be disabling uBlock Origin in Chrome. So, as I was saying, template story number 8, company does something dumb.
Well, exactly. They're going to get blowback from this pretty hard. People are just going to stop using Chrome.
I mean, I would. What point I already don't use it unless I have to.
At what point do these companies think that people want ads?
They don't.
Personalized shopping experience. Fuck you.
Yeah. So here we go. For the past few years, Google's been working on implementing Manifest V3 in its Chrome browser. This change is anticipated to significantly impact ad blockers, which means that a sizable portion of Chrome's end users may also be affected. Manifest V3 is Google's biggest revamp to the extensions platform, which is notable for the fact that Manifest V2 was launched back in 2012. With the rollout of V3 now on the horizon, the firm has started automatically disabling extensions which don't align with its latest platform vision. And honestly, this has not been a surprise, because we've talked about Google disabling ad block for years. And yeah. It makes sense. Why would Google, a company whose primary income is advertising, allow you to block ads in the flagship browser? So of course they're going to disable this. They've just been trying to find a way to do it. So Manifest V3 is Google's latest and upcoming update to its extensions platform. It replaces some less restrictive APIs with new APIs that have relatively strict permission models for better security and privacy. For example, the current web request API being used by uBlock Origin enables visibility over the customer's entire web traffic. So that's not being replaced by the more restrictive declarative net request API, which is obviously a breaking change for the aforementioned extension. Although Google plans to get rid of all extensions which use Manifest V2 in Chrome by June of 2025, others like Vivaldi, Brave, and Mozilla have offered to support the platform a bit longer. As noted by Raymond Hill, who is the developer of the free uBlock Origin ad blocker, Google's already started automatically disabling his extension. This is the bitch part, is they're just turning it off. In Chrome, as it is no longer supported, and is also recommending users to uninstall the extension. That said, it's important to keep in mind that Hill's already launched uBlock Origin Lite, which, in order to comply with Manifest V3, developers caution this version is less effective compared to the original since it has limited filtering capabilities. But in XDA's testing, XDA's lead technical editor, Adam Conway, found it to be quite decent. In a move to downplay the impact of the change, a Google spokesperson informed The Verge that 93% of all actively maintained extensions in the Chrome Web Store comply with Manifest V3. Doesn't mean much. And that users of affected extensions should make use of supported alternatives. However, it remains to be seen how the consumer market will respond to the change once it begins to roll out generally. Saying 93% of all maintained extensions doesn't mean much of anything, because you're saying of all extensions in your store, whereas people generally only install 3 or 4. It's usually uBlock Origin, NoScript, and then usually a YouTube downloader and an audio fixer plugin, and there's some variation on those. I mean, what else do people generally... themes? You know, half of them are probably themes, so...
Yeah.
That, you know, see, it's a useless number. Throwing that shit out there is just an insult to your intelligence. So... yeah, company does something dumb. Google is blocking, you know, disabling ad blocks. So, you know, Vivaldi's good. I've used Brave. Brave is good. I still tend to stick with Firefox, but Mozilla is starting to make some interesting moves. They were fighting with the guy who makes uBlock Origin as well. So it might be Brave next. And that's going to be the game. Who's always trying to stay a step ahead and use a browser that's not stupid. But... of course, Windows itself has been getting stupid for years. So, yeah, apparently in the latest update to Windows 11, they made recall mandatory on a whole bunch of services, including Explorer. So, like, if you manually go in and remove the files for Windows Recall off the latest install on Windows 11,
it breaks
Explorer and other shit. And some of the people working on the Windows cleanup tools found that one. So... now, Recall apparently isn't doing anything yet, so it looks like they're just staging the hooks, but still. It's just... I think at this point, a lot of these software companies have decided that general computing was a mistake. They want it to be more like cable TV. They want to control what you're allowed to do and what you're allowed to see. Consume content.
You know, keep you in this stable.
So... which, considering most people have already swapped to mobile devices for most of their stuff anyway, sounds hardly a surprise. Because they figured out the majority of the market will take it.
Yeah. They don't know any better.
Well, I mean, hell, I use them too, so I have no room to talk. But, you know, there are ways to at least make them interesting. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not surprised at all that Google is starting to monkey with the ad block. I mean, you look at what's been going on with YouTube, where if you had ad block on there, shit wouldn't play. So I'm waiting.
Mine still works through Firefox. So
yeah, I'm still waiting on Amazon to figure out that their ads don't play in the web player, even though they play if you try to use the stick. So, yep, watching a lot less Amazon videos on the TV because of that shit. Just gonna set up a Jellyfin server and some automations, and you know, yo ho. Anyways,
I mean, as long as I don't open the cupboard behind me, I'll still be on the internet for a while.
There you go.
Like, I went down for a week without a PC because of hardware issues, and I had no problems. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know.
It was a 15-year-old laptop and a spare monitor. Away I go.
Well, you know that I'm going to be taking a trip with some family in November, so you know the date I picked in the show is not arbitrary. And
yeah,
I have every intention of just ignoring the fucking news and the internet while I'm gone.
Just take your Steam Deck and call it a day.
No, I'm not even going to take that.
Okay. What are you going to do with, as the kids say, raw dog it?
I'll have my phone. Without anything? I'll have my phone. I may or may not take that Android tablet that I'm looking at when it shows up. I'll have to make up my mind on that. If I don't bring the Android tablet, I might bring an iPad. That's it. I don't have any games hardly on the iPad.
You do it the way I do it when I'm away from home. I just take a console that I like and a couple of games that I like, and if I want anything to do with news, I buy a newspaper.
No, I'm just not paying any attention to it. The election will be over. I just don't care.
Yeah, no.
I just don't want to see it. I'm tired of it.
Go for it, man.
So
go for it and enjoy it.
Well, I tell you, and I was in the gym today, right? And they've got the bank of TVs up in front of you. And of course, the machines I like to use are right on the TVs. And, you know, they've got CNN on one screen and Fox on the other screen. And you're just watching, you know, one movie, one screen, two movies. You try going on there. And it's just like, this is so fucking stupid.
I know.
I'm so done with this shit.
I do this for a hobby. What kind of fucking sicko am I?
I mean, I was on a machine so I could pull it off. I just shut my eyes and listened to the music and tried my best to ignore the TVs because I'm just so fucking over it. So.
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm addicted to the story. It's fucking great. It's only getting better. Can't wait to see what the next chapter holds.
No, I want to be able to disconnect so the next time you start talking politics, I can say, I'm sorry, I'm not up on the lore. So
I feel you, man. Yeah. I feel you.
So, yeah.
At least I know Madman's constantly addicted.
Oh, he is. He's as bad as you are. Speaking of, I saw him just jump on, so.
Yeah, maybe he'll pop down. Next story, what do we got?
Next story is from Ars Technica. Might help if I press the button correctly. FTC, click the cancel rule, seeks to end free trial traps and sneaky auto-enrollments. So, I like this because this has been a constant thing where...
I was going to say, are they actually doing something to help the consumer here?
They might be.
Holy shit.
You know, I don't think too much of our government, but if the FTC, whoever they put in charge of FTC has had some decent ideas this time around, at least. I don't think they've been very effective at doing them. We have a madman. Madman, hey, what are you drinking?
I am drinking black cherry vitamin water.
I think that's, you've got a circle jug.
Sparkling ice, it's in a circular bottle.
Sparkling ice, gotcha. Yeah, those are good too. So, yeah, the black cherry ones are good.
Yeah, I was wanting something soda-ish, but I also don't want calories.
Yeah, no, fair.
And now I can delude myself into thinking it's healthy, because when I look at the back of it, it's got some not quite insignificant number of vitamins.
And no real sugar. God knows what the fake sugar is going to do to you, but no real sugar at least.
I'm hoping it gives me superpowers.
Hey, well, you know, I've drank enough of that stuff. I'd hope so.
It says zero sugar, but it has 5 calories, and it doesn't have protein, so I'm not sure where those 5 calories are coming from.
Don't eat the bottle.
So, Madman, we just got done talking about it a little while ago. First week in November is going to be the last pure decking, at least for this year, possibly forever.
Okay.
We'll see where we are next year, but it's just, you know, it's not that it's not fun, but it just hasn't been interesting anymore. You know what I mean? Doesn't quite scratch the itch for me. So I at least need a break, if not spinning it down. And I'm going to spin down the stream as well. So, as far as live streaming audio, if we bring the show back, I'll figure that out. But I don't think anybody listens to the actual music stream anymore, so I'm going to spin that down as well. So we already talked about it. I just, you know,
catch up.
We'll turn the web host into nothing but game hosting for the old retro games we sometimes play.
Well, yes, because I want to see if I can hook the BBS into auto update pages and things like that, or I might look at rehosting, going to a different hosting, because I looked at what I was spending for the G15 site, and I'm just like, wow, really? So it needs some attention. How about that? So. Anyways, back to this article from the Ars Technica, which Madman probably didn't get because of when he jumped in the channel, so I'll repost that link. It will soon be easy to click to cancel subscriptions after the U.S. Federal Trade Commission adopted a final rule on Wednesday that makes it challenging for businesses to opt out of easy cancellation methods. Quote, too often businesses make people jump through endless hoops just to cancel a subscription. Unquote, FTC Chair Lena Khan said in a press release, quote, the FTC's rule will end these tricks and traps, saving Americans time and money. Nobody should be stuck paying for a service they no longer want, unquote. And I mean, we've all seen this. Log me in, and I'm trying to think of the other one. TeamViewer. That's the other one. You sign up on their website and give them a credit card, you know, to start using the software to cancel it. Oh, you got to call and talk to somebody and, you know, fill things out in triplicate and, you know, make sure that your cancellation request is put in before the new moon and just all this bullshit to cancel these things. So I do appreciate the idea here. We'll see if they actually implement it. But like we were saying just before you hopped in, Madman, you know, this time around, the FTC's had some interesting ideas. I don't know how effective they are, but they've had some interesting ideas.
Yeah. On some of these, it's easier to call up your bank and tell them to no longer accept the charge than it is to cancel the subscription and just say if they want to fuck with my credit.
I've actually had a couple that I had to threaten that I was going to call my bank and report it as fraud because you were no longer authorized to bill that card. And that's what it took to get them to back down and cancel the subscription because they didn't want to do it.
I had the issue with Planet Fitness.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
After I threatened it, they're like, okay, we'll work on getting you out of here. Because I got a subscription thinking I'm going to go to the gym. And then I realized why I don't go to the gym because I'm fucking lazy. So after a few months of them charging me and me not going.
Don't they advertise you can just cancel any time?
Yeah. This was 8 years ago.
Ah.
But their business model is actually getting everyone to sign up because they know no one's going to. Well, no, I can't say no one because when I went there, there were people there, and I did actually use it a few times.
I'm going but 3 times a week.
Number of people they sign up far exceeds the capacity of the gym, and that's their business model. Is most people won't show up to use it, and it's a small enough price that they won't think to cancel.
Yeah. So the heart of the new rule requires businesses to provide simple ways to cancel subscriptions. Under the rule, any subscription that can be signed up for online must be able to be canceled online. And cancellation paths for in-person signups must be just as easy, either offered by phone or online. In guidance released Wednesday, the FTC recommends that businesses keep, quote, three guardrails in mind, unquote, to ensure cancellation methods comply with the law. First, customers cannot be required to talk to a live agent or chatbot to cancel if it wasn't required to sign up. I like that one. Next, any phone cancellation methods cannot include charges and must be offered during normal business hours. And finally, canceling services in person must always be optional. To comply with the rule, businesses offering, quote, negative option marketing, unquote, such as subscriptions, automatic renewals, and free trial offers to both customers and other businesses are prohibited from misleading customers. They must clearly disclose all terms of the deal prior to accepting payment, including explaining how much and how often customers will be charged, when free trials or promotions end, and any deadlines to avoid charges, and importantly, how to cancel. You know what? I'm betting what did this was Adobe. That debacle with Adobe earlier this year, where they had whole bunch of people wanting to cancel it and finding out that Adobe was going to charge them some horrendous cancellation fee that nobody knew they had to do.
I'm just shocked that they're actually doing something on behalf of the consumer.
Well, they haven't tried to enforce it yet, so we'll see if it actually has any teeth. Because they have to actually sue somebody under it before it means anything. Quote, all of this information should be clear, conspicuous, and available to your customers before they enroll. And certain key information related to charges and cancellation must appear right when and where the customer agrees to the negative option every time, unquote, the FTC said. Under click to cancel rule, businesses must also get consumers informed consent before issuing charges and maintain records of consent for a minimum of 3 years. Those records could be in the form of a ticked checkbox or a signature, the FTC said, noting the agency offers, quote, some flexibility on what the proofs look like, unquote. Quote, don't try to distract people with other information, unquote, the FTC said. Quote, get proofs of consent and maintain it for at least 3 years, unquote. That provision is designed to end unfair and deceptive practices that the FTC found, such as inadequate disclosures about free trials or sneaky auto-enrollments. Those, quote, practices have been a persistent source of consumer harm for decades, unquote, the FTC's notice on the final rule said. Quote, saddling shoppers with recurring payments for products and services they never intended to purchase nor wanted to continue buying, unquote. The FTC confirmed that some provisions of the final rule will go into effect within 60 days, but most take effect after 180. Violators risk civil penalties and other forms of consumer redress that weren't previously available under the FTC Act and the notice in the Federal Register said. Some frustrated individual competitors asked for stiff penalties, the FTC's notice said. Quote, there needs to be a substantial penalty when a service is requested to be canceled, but the charges continued, unquote, one commenter urged the FTC. Quote, I dropped my TV service from Comcast 3 months ago and they continue to charge me. Every time I need to recontact them, I waste an hour, unquote. I believe that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I had it out with, it was Spectrum at the time. But this was before Spectrum merged with a bunch of other people, so I don't know that it's the same Spectrum. I had purchased a cable modem, and then I moved, and they didn't service the area I moved to. So they wanted me to return the damn cable modem. I'm like, no. It's like, all right, well, we're going to put a $100 charge on your bill. It's like, I bought the cable modem. It's mine. You don't get to make up charges. And every time I called them about it, they would agree that it was wrong and they would take care of it. And then I would get another notice in the mail. And I ultimately had to I had to do some digging and get several people's internal email addresses and make some noise that your company is making up bullshit and send that in. It's like, would you please drop this fraudulent charge? That finally got it done. But shit, I mean, it was an absolute nightmare with them. So, yeah. And of course, the cable company is the worst because they have no incentive to actually, be better than their competition because, oh, wait, they don't have any.
Exactly.
So. That's slowly changing, at least in my area, when it comes to internet provision. when it comes to the internet.
So.
And it's changing enough that I believe I'm finally going to get over my laziness and switch internet providers.
Oh, well, hopefully they're faster.
They will be. I'm just hoping they're cheaper and better customer service.
I'd love to actually get fiber at this house because I thought I was going to be able to when I first moved here, and then it wasn't. But Yeah, nobody's servicing the area yet, so
I should have two fiber options.
Nice.
I'm supposed to be in the range for both AT&T fiber and then my municipal company's fiber.
Very neat.
So I've got three high-speed internet providers that I should be able to choose from.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is my municipal was supposed to do fiber, and they don't. So it's just like, damn it. Well, not here, anyways. Back to the article. More than 16,000... 16,000 comments were submitted during the initial proposed rulemaking, including concerns raised by cable firms who worried that the FTC's rule might make it so easy to cancel a subscription that customers miss out on benefits, including deals often offered to retain their business. Okay, every cable company that does that, that deal is only good for like 3 months.
And if you're providing a service people want, you don't have to worry about them canceling.
Right?
And yep. One thing, and I'm kind of slightly sad that I bit her head off because she was just doing her job, but the last time I was grocery shopping, Spectrum, speaking of cable companies, had a little table up and was accosting people. Spectrum has pissed me off. Not in the service. My internet works fine. It's never really down. When it is, it's because of a storm, and they usually get it fixed pretty damn quick. So I haven't had to talk to anyone to complain, because I haven't had really anything to complain about. I do think I'm being overcharged. But a few months ago, and it might even be a year ago now, I get an advertisement from them. And it's not resident, it's not occupant, it's nothing like that. It has my actual name. It was sent to my address. And it's an offer saying I can get internet and cable for the same price that I'm just paying for internet. Now, I don't watch a lot of TV, mainly because I don't have it. But if I had it, I would check out a couple of news broadcasts or maybe a sporting event. And if it's the same price as what I'm paying for just internet, I don't see why I shouldn't have it. I call them up, and they tell me I'm already a customer and this is only for new people. That pisses me off because it was sent to me. They knew I was a customer. Why the fuck are they sending me shit that they're not going to honor?
The humiliation ritual, madman. I know exactly what they're doing. You're our little bitch. We don't care about you.
Yeah, it's supposed to get you to call them so that they can still try to offer you something. It's like, well, obviously want cable, so you want to get it anyways? No.
No, it is. I was going to get it because I was effectively not going to be paying any more than what I'm already paying.
It's a way to get you as the customer to engage with them when they already have you. They don't have to offer you anything. They just want to upsell you on something.
Well, I was calling because they were offering me something, and I didn't want we can give you the, what were they offering me when I called in? A cell phone for no extra charge for a year. But after the year, there's a charge, and I already have a fucking cell phone. There's a headache moving your phone number from one carrier to another. I know it might be a minor one, but it's one I don't want to deal with.
Yep.
And I'm happy with my provider.
It's called a bait and switch, and yeah, I think it's technically illegal. But
that's what's really gotten me thinking of switching. Yeah. Now that my options are open to me.
Yeah, here we go. At that time, Michael Powell, CEO of the Internet and Television Association, defended using live agents to process cancellation requests. He warned that, quote, a consumer may easily misunderstand the consequences of canceling. What?
I'm not going to have your service, and I'm not paying you money. No one's going to misunderstand that.
Incurring unexpected costs in situations like canceling part of a discounted bundle that may increase the price for remaining services. Okay, if somebody doesn't understand, if they don't understand it, that means your website sucks at explaining it, most likely on purpose. And two, if somebody truly doesn't understand it, they can still call the customer service line. But if somebody knows what they want to do, you shouldn't be in their way. Powell further argued that the rule could raise costs for customers, alleging that the FTC had significantly underestimated compliance costs that could, quote, easily exceed $100 million for initial implementation by the cable industry alone. The fuck? If you've already got a system to sign up online, you're just doing some more hooks into the back-end system. It's not... The thing already exists. You don't have to... Okay. Yeah.
We know they're lying. Yeah, but the average person doesn't.
On that one, how often do they maintain their own shit? How often do they outsource it?
Yeah.
And what do you think the people they're outsourcing it to is going to charge them to make the update? So I could see an expense. I don't think the expense is prohibitive.
So I'm just looking at the clock here, and I'm not going to read the rest of this because it's pretty long, but they go into some more history on it. But they're thinking that the rule's going to get challenged in court. Apparently, it only passed by a vote of 3-2 of the commissioners. And so, yeah, until the thing actually is held up in court, I'll believe it then. I hope that they do get some of these companies to behave a little bit better. So that'd be nice. Next article. I don't need to read the whole thing because the first paragraph covers it. It's from the Register. So I'll go ahead and throw the link out there. And that is, Apple wants to shorten SSL TLS security certificate lifespans down from 398 days, which is the max. You used to be able to do them for like 7 years. Now it's, 398. Now to just 45 days by 2027. And sysadmins have very strong feelings about this. So I don't blame them because most systems, rotating out the SSL certificates is a nightmare.
Say you break shit, isn't it?
It is. Now, web servers, it's not too bad. In fact, I forgot the name of it now. The people that do the free TLS, Let's Encrypt, they've got an automated script to just constantly refresh your SSL certificates every 45 days. And that's fine. That's no problem. It's an easy way to do it. But most systems that you deal with for SSL that aren't web servers are an absolute pain in the ass to switch them out. If you've ever had to do a swap SSL certificates on a Cisco telecom system, dear God, or anything with Java for that matter, because you have to re-encode the certificate into a Java key file, and it's just an absolute pain in the ass. So could a lot of that be automated? Yes. But that's going to be really hard to maintain if you're rotating certificates every 45 days. I could see the year. I know a lot of people were suggesting a year, and I know a lot of companies have a yearly rotation policy anyways. I think that one makes sense because that's a pretty good balance between refreshing the keys to make sure that you don't have somebody impersonating your server and to make sure that your server's current. But at the same time, being manageable. Because rotating the keys every 45 days in a lot of systems is just not feasible. It's not web servers that's the problem for. It's basically everything else.
I've known it to take out a phone system.
Absolutely. Now, it absolutely will.
I didn't complain because I got a paid day of doing nothing. But it pissed somebody off.
So, yeah. There are reasons to shorten the length of how long you can keep an SSL certificate valid. I think the year's a good number, but 45 days is a little much. It's like, we're going to rotate your password every 45 days. No, fuck. That'll actually cause worse problems because, okay, if you're rotating out, if you're forcing people to change their passwords that often, they start doing the whole sticky note under the keyboard thing or just writing them down or doing the whole password 1, password 2, password 3, that kind of shit.
And when that you get up to 10, you get to rotate back.
Well, that makes worse passwords, right? It actually makes the system less secure, forcing people to rotate that often because people are bad at change. So, that's where you do MFA. So really, maybe we need to rethink how we're doing SSL certificate management if that's where we're going is 45 days. Shit. Next article is from Ars Technica. Again, I don't need to read the whole thing, although it's actually pretty short. Winamp has deleted their entire GitHub source repo after a rocky few weeks. So we talked about Winamp's open sourcing all of the old Winamp code. They've now deleted the repo. They gave up.
Oh, the whole, you can submit stuff to us and we'll use it, but you can't use it anywhere else.
Yeah.
I believe that was the issue.
Yeah. People, they apparently got attacked so much in the issues in the segment and figuring out that they were accidentally open sourcing code. They didn't have the right to open source. But there were several thousand forks of it already made, so even though they've pulled it down, that code's out there. So we'll probably start seeing some open source respins of Winamp popping up. They won't be licensed correctly, so that'll be an interesting thing. So maybe they'll, you know, call it, you know, something else, or just do like all the other media players did back in the day and make their own media player and put a Winamp skin on it so it looked like Winamp. Because Winamp did have the interface nailed pretty much back in the day.
Oh, it was right. It worked. It was user-friendly and it worked.
Yep. So then they added that library system, and that kind of made a mess.
Yeah.
And the last story I had for tonight, and again, I'm blazing through the stories because, you know, 3-7 minutes left, and I do want to get to the Digital Dojo because I thought it was cool. This last article I have is from the BBC. Firm hacked after accidentally hiring North Korean cyber criminal. We've talked about that before.
Yep.
veteran employees?
Our company has been hacked after accidentally hiring a North Korean cyber criminal as a remote IT worker. The unidentified firm hired the technician after he faked his employment history and personal details. Once given access to the company's computer network, the hacker downloaded sensitive company data and sent a ransom demand. Just...
oh, for fuck's sake.
Again, that's not even an IT problem. That's not a computer problem. That's a vet your employees problem. Although, if they were able to get to sensitive data the first day on the job, that might...
could be a privileges problem. But does it say first day? Because he might have been working there for a few months, getting nice and embedded.
Once given access to the company's computer network, the hacker downloaded sensitive data. It didn't give a time frame. It's the latest string of cases. Yeah, okay. A secure work said the IT worker, thought to be a man, was hired in the summer as a contractor. He used the firm's remote working tools to log into the corporate network. He then secretly downloaded as much company data as possible as soon as he gained access to internal systems. He worked for the firm for 4 months, collecting a salary. Researchers say this was likely redirected to North Korea in a complex laundering process to evade Western sanctions on the country. After the company sacked him for poor performance, it received ransom emails containing some of the stolen data and demand to be paid a six-figure sum in cryptocurrency. The company did not pay. The hackers said they would publish or sell the stolen information online. The firm did not disclose whether or not the ransom was paid. So, yeah, this has come up before, and... it's just wow. You know what I mean?
You can't get mad at the guy.
No, I can't. And you know, he was there for 4 months, and the moment he got access to a system, he'd dump out everything he could at it, which I guess that makes sense. And yep. You know, I criticize that, although now that I think about it, when I started at my job with my previous company, I think within 3 days of hiring they had given me an AD admin account and access to basically everything. Although I was there in person, which is kind of a different game.
That does make a difference.
So. Anyways.
I was at my position for weeks before they let me touch anything live. I had to pass a few tests.
That's probably the better way to do it.
Like, we know what you could possibly steal. You're going to have to pass a few things just training-wise, and we're going to get to know you a bit before you can play around on the network.
All right, let's do this. So, what I have for you tonight is a interesting guide put out by Trunc, trunc.org. It's they sell a log analysis software, so it's not surprising that they put this out here, but it's actually a really good write-up on the basics of they call it threat hunting, but just reading your logs. Like if you're going to dig through a log server or even the logs on your system, it's actually got a really nice write-up of things to look for. Like, you know, here's accounts you wouldn't normally expect to see logging into your system because they're system accounts. Here's some Zcat commands to look through your logs and checking for some of these things. Logins to weird locations that you don't expect. And again, they've got some cat and grep commands in there to kind of help you out with some of these things. So, you know, even though they're selling you, they want to sell you their log analysis tool, right? But they've got the commands in there that don't require their tool. And it's a fairly nice write-up on what to look for basic log checking. So, you know, it's pretty basic stuff. But again, if you've not done sysadmin work and you're kind of curious, like, what should I look for in logs? That's a good place to start. So I thought
beginner's
I'd throw that
one. Yeah. Or even just a refresher.
Or if it's got different programs that it could be, if it's not something you've used on your network before, nice tool to have to just get started with.
Or if you're just not familiar with some of the more basic Linux commands for searching through files without having to open them up and scroll through them. And, you know, some of the better tricks with cat and grep that are in here. Pretty good. You know, for just the bash scripting and, like, you know, the full for list, you know, it's, yeah, they've got some good stuff in this article. So I hope they keep this up. I like what I'm seeing here. And I think that's cool when you have a company that is selling a product, but at the same time, like, here's some real educational material, not just here's 20 ways to use our thing, you know. And some companies do that, some don't. But this one looks like they're doing a pretty good job at least with that one. Of course,
that's something you might keep in mind for the products if it ever comes up that you could use it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You should patronize companies that are doing things you like.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to put it.
And you should patronize all the other ones.
Nag them. Wag your finger at them. Of course, that's all I got. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Well, that's not true. You're probably going to shut the stream down here in a month, so maybe I shouldn't be saying that at the end of the show. Pure Decking every Thursday for the next 3 weeks, and then we'll see the Galaxy 15 radio site, which is going to get an overhaul and be a lot simpler. The BBS, which is going to get a lot more active, because I'm thinking I'll put some door games up on the website, because I always meant to, and then like have it posting the high scores to the website. So I've got some ideas I want to explore. Anyways, Madman, closing thoughts.
Oh, the clown world is, or at least the daily clown world is about to be over, and then we get to see if the world ends. Looking forward to the next 3 weeks being over.
Need to break out the old REM album. Are you closing thoughts?
It's pretty much mimic what Madman said, but looking forward to the end of it, just to see what the outcome is. It's just been a hell of a fucking climb to the top. I bet you the ride down is going to be fucking bumpy as hell, boys.
Well, we're going to have another January 6th event. It's just the outcome of the election is going to determine on which side is going to be out there trying to tear the police barricades down. Maybe they'll have another guy dressed up like a Viking.
That's why we drink.
Oh, Techno Viking 3, the Washington edition.
I mean, you could probably shop that on Netflix.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional
zombie apocalypse.
Your satisfaction is very important to us.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm kind of retarded.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.